For millions of Americans, going online is part of our daily routine. For email, Facebook, Twitter, and more. Children are no exception to this, with over 27 million children from ages 2 to 17 going online. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director of SCAN of Northern Virginia, along with Cheryl Fuentes from Arlington County's Parent Education Program and a member of SCAN's Allies in Prevention Coalition. Join us today as we discuss why the internet can be a dangerous place for kids and how you can make going online a safer, more positive experience for your child. So let's start with asking, Cheryl, are children really online that much?
They are. Many children today use the internet at home or elsewhere. It's available at school, in public places such as libraries, at the homes of friends, on portable devices such as cell phones. So yes, children are online more today than in the past. And it can be a great resource to help children find information, do schoolwork, and stay in touch with family and friends, some who may be close, some who may be not so close geographically.
So there's the positive side. What's the negative side? What are the risks of internet use?
The internet has many dangers. As a parent or a caregiver, it's our responsibility to help our children learn how to use the internet responsibly and to understand the risks and dangers that they expose themselves to while they are online. Some of these can include sexually explicit material, which could be accidental. Someone may send it to them, or they may innocently search for it. Pornography and sexual predators. That could be through websites, or predators may befriend children and use the internet to contact them. Violence, that could be through graphic images, instructions on how to make bombs or weapons, hate messages, or other messages that may promote violence toward others. We also see information about offensive or illegal activities, which can be dangerous, and bullying, such as cyberbullying.
And that's an important one. Bullying has always been an issue among children, but it has taken on new dimensions as we have more technology available to us, hasn't it? What should parents know about cyberbullying?
There's a lot to know about cyberbullying. In fact, there's a great website called stopbullying.org, which is devoted to helping all of us recognize, prevent, and address cyberbullying. They've defined it as when a child, a preteen or a teen or a minor, is tormented, teased, harassed, humiliated, embarrassed, or otherwise targeted by another child on the internet through digital technologies or mobile phones. There has to be a minor involved in both sides. If there's an adult, then it's called something else, such as cyber stalking or cyber harassment.
Makes sense.
It can also be direct, meaning that messages are sent directly to a child to tease or torment them, or it could be indirect. So someone says something about you in a negative way, sends it to someone else, and then it's sent on to you or circulated about you.
And I guess we find a lot that our children don't necessarily seem to be as aware of how permanent things become once they're posted on the internet. So things that they might say to one another in the lunchroom that granted are hurtful even then, but they become even more hurtful when the same thing is in black and white and it stays up someplace sort of semi-permanently.
That's right, Sonia. And, you know, your online reputation, your digital reputation is becoming increasingly important for kids and adults of all ages. Cyberbullying can have lasting effects in lots of ways. So it's important that parents recognize what's going on and respond to that.
If you're just joining us, this is Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, along with Cheryl Fuentes from Arlington County's Parent Education Program. And we're talking about internet safety and our children. So how can I make the internet safer for my children?
The most important thing you can do as a parent is go back to basic parenting 101. Model the behaviors that you would like your children to use. For example, it has become an important regular part of all of our lives, and access to the internet should really be considered a privilege for our kids, not a right for our children. And I think as parents, sometimes we forget that. We think if we've given them a cell phone with unlimited texting and internet access, that they should always be able to use that. But it's up to us as parents to set appropriate limits that are relevant to our child's age and their maturity level. Some other things we should be doing is have ongoing conversations with our kids about their use of all forms of digital media, including cell phone use, online gaming, social media, and websites. We can come up with a family technology plan or agreement that both we as parents and our kids agree to, and we can literally sign it, about what our family values are related to the use of technology. If you need help finding one of those or coming up with one, feel free to ask a school counselor, or there are websites such as netsmarts.org, which have them along with guidelines for what kind of technology use is appropriate at different ages. And lastly, you can use parental control tools. They're actually pretty easy to use, so don't let the your lack of knowledge and how to use them keep you from doing that. And they're readily available through your web browser or internet service provider. And then there's also software that you can buy. And all of those can limit what can be accessed online.
It's a great point. And I guess along with setting up the agreement, it's important as parents, like any other parenting challenge, to keep in mind that it just because we've agreed to something at one point doesn't mean that doesn't change as our child's sort of experiences with it change. And I think it's important to remember that we need to have that open conversation and know that our kids are learning more and having different experiences, and to keep those lines of communication open and have them share with us what it is that they do when they're online or who they talk with when they're online.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So what are some other tips that we can teach our kids so that they can learn how to be safe when they're online?
Well, Sonia, once again, there's no substitute for parental supervision. Have those ongoing conversations with your kids. Talk to them about the real consequences, including legal consequences in some cases, of their online activity. Respect their privacy, because they'll want you to do that, but reserve the right to know their passwords, check their email and their social media accounts, and look at pictures that are being sent back and forth. Show interest in the positive things that they're doing online, and that really provides a ground for those good conversations so that when you have to have a difficult conversation with them, you've already kind of been through that routine. Help them if music is their interest or purchasing movies, help them purchase them online rather than let them learn on their own how to access them in perhaps unsafe or illegal ways.
I think oftentimes parents feel so uncomfortable because our kids begin to know more about these technologies than we do. But to some extent, we can use that to our benefit and ask our children to show us, well, how does that Facebook thing work? Or how do you get to see a picture of someone else online and have them actually show us? Because it gives them an opportunity to be in that sort of teaching role with us, but it also gives us the opportunity to see what it is that they're doing and how they manage themselves when they're online.
Absolutely.
Let's go back to that cyberbullying issue. If we find out that our child has been bullied or harassed online, or is the one who's been bullying someone else or harassing someone else, what should we as parents do then?
As a parent, you need to react, but don't overreact. Very important. We as parents need to be the place kids go and the ones they trust when something's wrong so that they will come to us. Yet, we are often the last place they'll go when something's wrong online. And why is that? Because we tend to overreact. So first off, listen to your child and be supportive. Cyberbullying is real, so don't brush it off. Let the school counselor or the school know what's going on so that they can keep an eye on your child or in-school bullying, and they can also provide a resource to you and or work with you as to how your child could handle what might be happening. Also, contact others who can provide support to your child, such as a doctor or counselor or maybe a clergy member that you're close to. Again, the website I mentioned earlier, stopcyberbullying.org, can assist you in understanding more about what to do about cyberbullying. Your actions, of course, do need to escalate depending on the threat or what has happened in this cyberbullying exchange. But there are two things that you should consider before anything else. Is your child at risk of physical harm? Do you feel that they're safe? And how are they handling these attacks emotionally? If there's any indication that they've given personal contact information or that they're at physical risk of being physically harmed, you need to run, don't even walk, to your nearest local law enforcement agency and seek assistance.
Great, great point. We're about out of time, and I know you brought some other resources and websites to share with families. Why don't we leave those with the parents who might be listening?
Okay, sure. Lastly, I'd just like to say, as parents, we don't have to be experts in technology, as you mentioned, Sonia, in order to keep our kids safe. We simply have to practice some good parenting. That includes setting those age-appropriate limits on time and content, have those ongoing conversations on a regular basis about what our kids are doing online, why they're visiting various sites, who they're talking to, what sites they visited, and take any concerns you or they have seriously. Parenting can be tough, especially in our technology-driven age, but asking for help doesn't have to be. Check with a school counselor or visit some of the online internet safety sites for assistance. Some of the ones that I, as a parent and for resources, consult regularly include commonsensemedia.org, netsmarts with a Z.org, and stopcyberbullying.org.
The best way to assure that your child is having a safe, positive experience online is to stay in touch with what they're doing. One way to do this is to spend time with your child while they are online. Have them show you what they do and ask them to explain to you how to use the computer and the internet. You might be surprised by how much you can learn from your children. By creating strategies to teach children about the benefits of going on the internet as well as the dangers of being online, the internet can become a great resource for the whole family. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones with SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Cheryl Fuentes for joining me to talk about this very important topic this morning. Remember, we need to pause for our children. No matter how fast the world might be moving around us, it's critical that we pay attention to the kids in our lives. Take time out of your busy schedule to focus on your children, and know that it's okay to ask for help. For more information and websites related to internet safety and other parenting challenges, visit the SCAN website at www.scanva.org.